Okay, that's it for my Spanish. Sorry. Oh, I wish that Spanish came that easy. Oh, I did something now. Made this phone Oh, we're coming back to life. So we just need to go way back here. There we go. Let's go to this one. So, well, it is so good to be here again. Come on, go back. That one. That's where we want. I've entitled this message, Jesus, the Master of the Unexpected, but I've found that Jesus isn't the only one that does the unexpected. I sent out an email a few weeks ago saying, please pray for us. We're going to these different places. And Dan sent back, said, hey, I see you're coming to Claremont. What a surprise. It was unexpected. So anyways, thanks, Dan. We miscommunicated somehow. And it's my old age that's kicking in. And so I apologize for that. I was feeling a bit better, though, because one of the other churches that we've confirmed with way back in February, the pastor said, hey, you're going to be in our area. Can you show up? And I said, well, actually, we're going to be in your church this particular Sunday. So I was feeling really good then because that made two of us that are getting older. So anyways, well, it is so good to be back here and to be able to share with you. And I want to talk a little bit from John chapter 4 today with you. But as way of introduction, I want to talk about some things that were unexpected in our world this last year. First was the whole COVID thing, and everybody was unexpected. But we were in Mexico. We were in a city. We're sort of like 300 miles maybe 300 miles from Phoenix, and we're in a church of 200 people, that type of thing. And so I hear the announcements, and I think, well, we don't have to really worry about that. It's not going to come to our church. And then we heard that over in Italy and Spain, they were doing crazy things, like people had to take individuals had to go in a taxi. You couldn't take more than, well, if you were a family, you could go more than that. But if you were two people that lived in the same house, but you weren't married, you couldn't go in the same taxi. You had to get two taxis to go to the airport. And, well, that's really bad. What was really strange about that is we had two ladies from our church that were in Spain on a mission trip that had to take taxis like that to get back, come to Mexico and then come back to Hermosillo. Before COVID had come to Mexico, we were being impacted. People in our church were being impacted. That was really unexpected. And then we had unexpected ministry. We mentioned it earlier, but we never expected that we were going to do food hampers for anybody. If somebody said, well, you're going to Mexico and you're going to do food hampers, I would have said, well, no, we're going to teach English. And God just changed that around. I showed this picture because this lady is a rather unique story. The day I took this picture, Adele had phoned her in the morning and said, hey, God sort of has laid you on my heart, just wondering, do you need a food hamper? And she said, oh, yeah, I could use a food hamper. When we got there, she told us she was praying when the phone rang that God would send some food. That's pretty real. And I said, okay, I guess we're doing what we're supposed to. We must be listening to God. Well, Adele's listening to God. It's pretty amazing stuff. And then we got teaching children, and when we went, we said, you know, we'll teach adults, we'll teach high school students, but we don't want to teach children. We've never taught children. We're not... And then we ended up at the children's home teaching children. And they have impacted our lives. This little gal, last day we were there, she just clung to Adele and she said, oh, please stay, please stay, please stay, over and over. We're just touching lives and they're touching ours. It was all unexpected. It wasn't all work. After Christmas, we said, you know, we have been in the city, and it was different. When COVID hit, we went into a lockdown. Adele didn't leave our house for 3 months because only one person was allowed in the vehicle, and I drove, she didn't, so I got to drive. So I got to go out around the city. Everywhere around the city, there were roadblocks. We had city police, state police, federales, and the military, and you went through roadblocks. We didn't leave the city for 6 months. We stayed in the city. It was different. So when all of a sudden Christmas came and was over and we said, hey, we need a break, we looked for some place in San Carlos, which is, if you haven't been to San Carlos, you need to come to Hermosillo and see us, and we'll at least take you for a day tour to San Carlos. Actually, you want to stay a few days. Beautiful there. We found a condo that was really reasonable price, and we thought, oh, let's try that. So we booked it for a few days. We get there, and we find out that the person who owns it is a missionary kid. Now, he's no longer a kid. He's our age. But his parents are missionaries in the jungles of Peru. By the way, they worked with Wycliffe, and they went out in the 50s, I think it was, the late 50s. And they're thinking maybe they should retire now. I think Dad is 92 and Mom is 89. They maybe have had birthdays since we last talked. But they have translated the entire Bible into the language for that tribe out in the jungle. Well, we're talking with Cam, and he said, you know, I don't have this place booked after you guys are leaving here. If you want to stay and just pay costs, you're welcome to stay for a few more days. What a blessing. What a blessing. God blessed us in so many ways that we didn't expect. It was awesome. Well, so many unexpected things from the story of the woman in the well. And I want to take time this morning to read this passage of Scripture. It's a rather lengthy passage from John chapter 4. I want to start at verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." "What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. As I read through that a number of times, I realized that there are really four different groups, there's two individuals. There's Jesus and there's the woman. And then there's the disciples and the people of Sychar. And there's sort of this thing that goes on here that everybody gets something a little bit unexpected along the way. And I'm just going to run through a bunch of them and then make a comment on a few of them here in a minute. But the first one, they were all impacted by the unexpected. The first one is in verse 4. It says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. It was an unexpected route, and they ended up at Sychar, an unexpected destination. The disciples had something to ask. You know, there's something going on. They weren't sure what it was, but it impacted them. And then in verse 7, the woman has an unexpected conversation. Jesus starts talking with her. She doesn't expect that. Whoa. Jews? They don't speak to Samaritans. And Jewish men? For sure they wouldn't speak to a Samaritan woman. And then there's the unexpected conversation that goes on from verses 9 through 15. And they talk about living water. They talk about eternal life. Totally unexpected. And then we get to verse 16, and I have what I've said is an unexpected revelation. Jesus says to the woman, go call your husband. And she says, well, I don't have one. And he says, yeah, I know, you've had five. And the person you're living with right now is not your husband. That was a bit unexpected, yeah. And so it got a little too personal. And she says, I think we should change the subject about now. I have a question. What's the right church to worship in? She didn't put it that way. She said, you know, do we worship on the mountain here, or do we have to go to Jerusalem? And she got just an unexpected response from Jesus. He said, you know, it's not about the right church. It's not about where we worship. It's about who we worship and how we worship. And she's starting to get a little bit of this, and she has a little bit of background knowledge. And in verse 25, I want to read that one again, because that's really key verses here for this woman. I know the Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. I don't know about you, but I think that is an unexpected introduction. When Jesus comes, the Messiah, and all of a sudden he says, yeah, that's me. Oh, that had to be unexpected. And then there's an unexpected interaction between Jesus and the woman that the disciples observe. They are surprised that Jesus is talking to the woman. Well, then we have an unexpected announcement. The lady runs back to town and she says, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? If you were living in Sychar in those days and that woman came into town, my guess is that you shunned her. And all of a sudden she comes with the announcement, hey, I think I found the Christ. And you know what's more unexpected than her announcement? It's their response. The people went out of the town. They came out of town and made their way toward him. Well, it was unexpected. Maybe for me more than for them. That they would listen to her. And then in verses 31 to 35, Jesus gives what I called an unexpected challenge to the disciples. Lots of unexpected things in this story. But I want us to consider the three things that I think impacted the disciples. And I think they impacted the disciples because of the way John includes them in the story. If they hadn't impacted him, I'm thinking he probably would have left them out. And they are an unexpected destination, an unexpected, my brain just went dead, an unexpected observation, and then an unexpected obligation. Back in verse 4, we read, now he had to go through Samaria. There was a destination. Now, he had to go through Samaria. Samaria, he's on his way to Judea. He's down to Galilee. He's in Judea. And the short way is to go straight up through the blue. And that's the way Jesus went. But any good Jew would never go that way. They would go across into Perea, up through Decapolis, and back into Galilee. Everybody knew that. So when the disciples all of a sudden are following Jesus and they come to the place of the crossroads where you either go straight up to Samaria or you go across the Jordan, and Jesus said, oh, we're going this way. They said, whoa, what do you mean we're going that way? And it said that Jesus had to go through Samaria. That had to cause the disciples to say, hey, where's Jesus taking us? What's going on here? Where is he taking us? As a disciple of Jesus, have you ever asked yourself, where's Jesus taking me? Or maybe where has he taken me? Some of you might say, why am I living here? Well, I want to suggest that you're not living here by chance, because I believe that God is taking us where he wants us. Listen to these verses. This is from Acts chapter 17. Paul is in Athens, and he's talking to the people in Athens, and he says, the God who made the whole world and everything in it is the Lord of the land and the sky. He does not live in temples built by human hands. This God is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else to people. He does not need help from them. He has everything he needs. God began by making one person, and from him came all the different people who live everywhere in the world, and God decided exactly when and where they must live. Now, if you read those verses in your Bible, you're going to say, hey, my Bible doesn't say that exactly the way this one says. Well, that's because this is from the New Century Version. And you say, what's the New Century Version? Well, I want you to know it's an evangelistic scripture, translation, set at a grade 3 level, so it's perfect for me. Okay? So that's why, but it does say that. The other one says that God created the nations and he set them up for a right time and the right place and everything. I like this. This is personal. God decided when and where people were going to live. I don't believe any of us are here by chance. We're here because God wants us to be here. I was talking with friends of ours recently, and I had been their pastor at one point, and he said, you know, we moved to that community. We were going for 1 year. 14 years later, we moved away. It was during those last few years that we met those friends. And what a blessing they had been to that community, to that church, and to us as we ministered there. And I was thinking, was it just by chance that they stayed 14 years before they left? Or did God want them there so they could be an encouragement and blessing to us? I believe they were there because that's where God wanted them to be. Had they moved away in the 1 year that they had anticipated they would, likely our paths would have never, ever crossed. So, the second thing I want to mention is just an observation, and I pointed it out a little earlier here, is in verse 27, where it says that the disciples returned and were surprised to find Jesus talking with the woman. But no one dared ask any questions. But they were surprised. I think John put that in there because they were surprised. There was something going on and they were observing something they didn't expect. They never expected Jesus to talk to a Samaritan woman. The disciples' question was, why is Jesus talking to her? Maybe that's not the right question. Maybe it's not why was he talking to her, but who is Jesus talking to? Well, he was talking to a woman in need of a Savior. I stopped to think a little bit about who we connected with this last year in Hermosillo. And I realized that we were meeting with families that were in financial crisis. They were in desperate need. We ended up meeting with children that needed help with homework. By the way, that children's home has about 25 kids, and they were all homeschooled this year. And when they got their English assignments, they couldn't read English. And so we would go and try and help translate and get them so they could do their assignments. That's a whole different story. But what I realized is that God had us there to touch lives of kids, and they touched our hearts. It was who we were meeting with. We also met with university students and doctors and nurses and business people. And you know, they all had different needs, so many different needs. But one thing was common for all of them. They all had a spiritual need. They all needed to meet Jesus. I guess my question for all of us is, who is God directing us to talk to? Is it a coworker? Is it a family member? Is it a friend? Who is Jesus directing us to talk to. Well, lastly, there was an obligation. There was an obligation for a harvest. In those last verses, 31 to 35, Jesus tells his disciples, he said, you know, I'm here to do the will of the Father. He said, you're going to be my disciples. You're here to do the will of the Father. We are his disciples. We're here to do the will of the Father. We are obligated to offer hope and healing to broken people. We are obligated to share the gospel message. It's good news. It's good news. You know, we live in a world that is broken. There are people hurting. We have family members that are terrified of what's going on in our world at present. We have hope. We have a message that can transform their lives. It's a gospel message. Jesus said to the disciples, oh, you have a saying, you know, you say 4 more months and then there's going to be a harvest. He said, no, the harvest is already ripe. There are still broken people in our world that need to hear a message. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, I am obligated, both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish, and that is why I am so eager to preach the gospel, also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. We are obligated. Paul was a disciple. He was obligated. Why is he obligated? Because God did something in his life. And we just need to share that with others. What's God done in your life? You need to share that with others. We're obligated. We showed you the picture earlier of Elohim and Carla. And they are awesome. I can call them young couple now because they're the age of my kids. And so, but they are awesome. When it comes to sharing the message of Jesus, that's what they live for. Their house is open to high school and college-age students all the time because they are about sharing the message of Jesus with others. At present, they've been presenting an evangelical or even evangelistic Bible study. They started it just when we were leaving, and they went. They had a garage to meet in, and they said we got room for 15 people. At their first gathering, they had more people than would fit in the garage. So they said, "Hey, we need a bigger space," and we have just moved into a house that has a patio that's probably big enough to hold 40 or so people, and they are now using our patio to run their Bible study. They are a prime example of people who are obligated. They just share what Jesus has done in their life. Have they lived life perfectly? They'll tell you, no, we've messed up. But Jesus has forgiven us. He has made a difference in our life. They're great for me. I got a call from Elohim about, quite a while ago now, maybe a year ago. He said, you know, I'm looking for somebody who's been around, who's had some pastoral experience, who can just share life with me. Tell me, how do you handle fights with your wife? I let her win. How do you handle your children? How did you deal with these things? How's your walk with Jesus? I need somebody to hold me accountable. I want you to ask me the tough questions. That's been good. Because when I ask him the tough questions, he asks me the tough questions. He said, when you come back, I want you to pray about having an English Bible study. We're going to use it for evangelism. He said, a bunch of people already know where you live now, and we're going to invite them to come, and we're going to teach them English at the same time as we introduce them to Jesus. You know, that's part of life. However we do it, we all do it differently. You're not called to come to be missionaries and serve with us in Hermosillo. You're called right here, because this is the place that God has for you at this time. We are obligated to share the gospel. And everywhere, not just in Mexico, not just here in Claremont or Sac Smith, Grand Prairie, all around the world. As followers of Jesus, I believe that we are not here at this place, at this time, by chance. I am convinced that God has someone we need to connect with. You know who that is in your life. Maybe it's several people, but maybe it's just one person. And I know that we have a message of good news that we need to share. Jesus is our hope, and we need to share that with our world. Our world so desperately needs hope today. May God bless you. May He keep you. May He give you courage to share, to live life in a way that's pleasing to Him. And may you find joy that you've never experienced as you see lives transformed, as you're able to touch different hearts, different lives, by being obedient to sharing the gospel message with others. May God bless you.